Hey friends, Devin again for another episode of the Bardic Babble podcast, the show where we interview creators about the things that they create. On today's episode, we're sticking our toe back into twitch.tv and chatting with Captain Robert, a content creator who almost exclusively creates tabletop RPG, specifically D&D, content on his channel. Captain Robert has had quite the interesting life, and it's quite a tale that he weaves. So stay tuned, don't go anywhere. We have a couple of sponsors to get through real fast. Be sure to head on over to Twitter and follow the show at Bardic Babble Pod. Easiest way to communicate with us, let us know how you're thinking, feeling, or maybe there's a guest you'd like to see on the show. Let us know. Again, that's at Bardic Babble Pod over there on Twitter. Again, stay tuned, don't go anywhere. We're gonna be right back with Captain Robert. Welcome back, listeners. Today, I am joined by the one and the only Captain Robert. Robert, is it Fossetti? Fossette?
It's Festi. The Southeast Missouri has warped the German quite significantly.
how you doing today? I'm going to call you Captain.
Cap, Roe, Robert, all of it works. I'm doing better than I deserve, as always, my friend.
That's good to hear. All right, so as my listeners know, we're chugging along on this tabletop RPG train. Lately, we've been talking to content creators who utilize tabletop RPGs, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, Quest, within their own content creation engines and business models. And you take the content and take it to a whole other level. You display it live on Twitch. So can you just give us a little bit of your background, your history, and why you chose to dive into tabletop RPG live stream specifically?
So it's a wild ride. Okay, it's a wild ride.
All right, I'm buckling in.
I've been a 14-year bar veteran my entire life. So I opened up a bar on my 21st birthday. It's a very Van Wilder-like experience. Grown up in the same college town in between St. Louis and Memphis. My whole life, I've had a nightclub, I've had a dive bar. And then at the very end, I had this wonderful craft beer bar. And that has been my life forever. So technically, I'm a lifetime storyteller. I live on the Mississippi River. You know, they talk about the river telling 1,000 tales. It's the truth. There is a lot of that old upland South storytelling roots in my veins. And it all comes naturally from that. How does it lead to content creation? Well, I happen to be a part of the Destiny community for a very, very long time. And that was kind of my introduction to Twitch. I was able to see King Gathalion and Professor Broman and T-Rex and the rest of that crew way, way, way back in the day. So I got involved with the first GCX convention, its spiritual founding that they call SweatCon. So we met at this place, gosh, almost 5 years ago, down in a sweaty bar down in Tampa. It was awesome. That was kind of my first introduction to content creation. These were the first people I ever subbed to. I was into a community within a game, which I hadn't really been involved in since like maybe World of Warcraft in like late high school and college. It was the first time I was like, yeah, this is a real community feel. Come together, play with all these other people. So this is where I get my roots into live streaming. I turned on Justin TV a handful of times earlier in my life and gone, I don't know if I necessarily need to be watching this camera. It felt it much more felt like somebody just had a camera up in their house. It was a totally different feel versus this was very directed. I'm learning things. I felt more a part of it. That was a very raw spiritual roots. I didn't get it. I didn't get that first bit. I totally got it on the second go around. So this is where I kind of get my roots. So I become a Twitch community member and I'm lightly consuming content. I'm literally in the back office of my bar doing payroll on a late Thursday night, and I turn on Critical Role on, this was the very beginning of Briarwood arc is where I picked up, and I turn it on and I go, man, Dungeons and Dragons, haven't played since I was in Boy Scouts. Loved it. Played it all through my youth, these RPG games. And with my age being 35 years old, there's just been this natural progression where, okay, we played D&D because we had nothing else. This was the extension after watching. I would go and watch Willow and I would still want to be in Willow.
Right.
I would still want to be in these. I want to be hanging out with Conan. Like, this is it. So the extension of that was, okay, yeah, we can play D&D. Heroes Quest was a big deal that could convert. You could get a normal kid from down the block to play this game that was like D&D light. So there's all these little pieces. But as I grew older, I'm on that perfect scale where they call us Xennials, where I have a foot in the old world and completely merged with technology at like this perfect age appropriate level. Well, each time things got better. So you forgot about D&D. When I played the NES and Dragon Warrior, forgot about playing D&D. I was in that game all the way through. So you play all these epic RPGs through World of Warcraft. These games have removed us from that storytelling aspect. So when I sit there and I turned it on, I go, this is going to be a train wreck. There's no way this is going to be good TV. There's no way. Because I remember the table was like, it's going to be full of inside jokes. You're going to be eating whatever snacks you got around. Like, there's no way. It controlled chaos. But then I saw, I was like, oh my God, the power and the conviction of having the structure of it be a broadcast and online, and then obvious their own talent just exuding and taking role play to a different level. It inspired the storyteller in me. I tell folks in my community all the time, this is their aha moment when they come to D&D, because it was mine. It's Robin Williams and Hook. When they look and they go, it's you, PETA. It's you. And you remember how to tell a story as a child again. Because what we do is we take all this media. We have so much content now. Everything. It's all over the place. We could sit here consuming for the rest of our lives. But at the end of the day, we're all still children inside that want to create and mold and put pieces together. And that's what D&D unlocks. So they were the key that unlocked my childhood again. So immediately, like all good tavern owners, I started playing D&D in the basement again. And we were able to ride this wonderful wave. It's wonderful coincidence is what it is. A fifth edition coming out, something that streamlined so you could pick up and have anybody where you could teach them immediately. We didn't have hovering modifiers out here. We were focusing on the part that mattered, which is getting people to tell stories and build that with their friends again. And that lit the fire in me to start this whole deal as a part-time kind of deal. I said, I want to do this. Like, I'm used to it. I'm behind a bar all day. That is my stage. I've been a storyteller all my life. This is great. I love this. This is fulfilling. And it solved this creative itch that I had where I could be constantly be creating. I could be creating something new and dynamic. And it all led into this going, yeah, this is going to be my new side hustle, right? This is going to be something that's very, very important to me that scratches an itch I can't get anywhere else in my entrepreneur life. At that point, it had just been opening up new businesses constantly. But those things have incredible high risk. Not that content creation does.
Right.
It does too. It's wild. But you can at least do this. If you want to do this for a hobby, you can. There is no hobby entrepreneurship. Well, there may be, but there's the risks seem exponentially higher in there. So this was a good avenue for my personality to develop through it. So it was a long term. I knew what I wanted to do from day one. I knew that I wanted to take my basement game up into a performance area because I knew sharing it with the audience was powerful. I knew what Acquisitions Inc. was after I saw it. I'm one of the few people that saw Acq Inc. after Crit Roll. Or I guess that's the dominant thing now. If you're in, you know, OG in the space, you're like, this is some of the spiritual founding. And, you know, JP's stuff over at Roleplay, like the pioneer of the format essentially that I do. I knew I wanted to do that. And I took my business acumen and my entrepreneurship and I knew, okay, here's the stack and here's how I'm going to grow it. And piece by piece, we made and went. I was a long-term mixer partner. So I got in there over 2.5 years ago. I built through and became the biggest D&D channel on Mixer. And then I was able to come back to Twitch, which I had only professionally streamed on maybe 2 weeks before I'd made the Mixer move. Because I saw the eyeballs and attention once again, following what I heard in the data from from Professor Broman and the people that were really developing and telling creators where there was space and room to grow with eyeballs. So I took that bet. And it was paid dividends and like another, you know, the stroke of luck. I had pretty much grown to as large as I was going to grow on Mixer. There was certainly a ceiling over there. It was great to start, but I got this core community. And then if you're going to have to change platforms, let it be wholesale to where everything's got to go. So then you can't have any other stragglers. I could sense that things were about to hit the chop block. So me and a couple other people went the month before and got prepped and ready. Smart. And we were already transferred our live content. So being able to see these trends and what I normally do in business saves my life again. I'm ready to go. I'm already positioned. And then obviously my community comes over, which most folks don't know, is that we created these core communities on Mixer. These weren't live stream watchers. That's why you see a handful of Mixer partners right now that are over here that are succeeding incredibly, is because they came over the handful of people that have never watched Twitch before. Never had. They were completely, I call them my Xbox dads. They would go downstairs and turn on the Xbox. They were too tired to play, so they would turn on, they would watch us. That was a good core demographic of what would watch over there. And we were able to create this pile and pull them over. It was fun getting to show them Twitch because we didn't have the kind of emote culture that Twitch has. Every platform's different. So it was kind of fun to get to show them like, hey, there's really cool stuff over here too. I've taken it for granted because I've been in this space forever, but I got to show a whole new people, look at this. And they're like, there's a lot of programming over here. I'm like, welcome to the big leagues. You know, we just came out of AA, you know, cresting to triple. It was like, you're in the big leagues now. All right. So it was this crazy journey from here to there and all encompassing in this within this year. It truly is doors closing and doors opening over the course of a 3-month period. And, you know, I'm not trying to bring the mood down or anything, but it's wild. I lost my mom. I lost my aunt. I lost my job. I lost my bar, lost my streaming platform. But at the same time, what is always, and I cannot ever thank my parents enough for this. I came from a German immigrant family that has always worked for themselves. It's opportunity. If you don't look at it as opportunity, you'll get lost in an endless sea of negativity. All of that bred new beginnings and something else. And, you know, thank the bejesus for something like content creation, which has literally given me a job in the new economy, which is perfectly set up to reach people. I'm scalable now. I never was. I was tied to an independent economy where I was very, very up to my earnings, whether city leaders made the right choices, whether a business or a manufacturer would pull in and out of town, whether colleges are actually going to be viable in the next 10 to 15 years, all these sorts of crazy questions that would ultimately could put me out of business, period. Now I'm in one where I'm like, I have a better chance now. I can flourish. I can work where I want to and operate. It's been a whole new crazy set of new beginnings and wild frontier. And that's what all this is. Like, content creation for me has always been the frontier. This is the wild west of tech right now. And I love it. So thankfully I found something that scratches the entrepreneur itch and hits my creative itch at the same time. I couldn't be more professionally and personally fulfilled doing what I'm doing, but it has been a wild journey to get over here back to the Twitch D&D directory.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, I'm sorry to hear about, you know, all the negative, but you use the word flourishing, and that's one of my favorite words to use, and I use it sparingly, but you're flourishing. You've got a good core community. You're getting sponsored by huge brands in the space. So I actually want to just kind of speak some life into Rare Drop, Voodoo, and Roll20. Just as kind of, you know, proof in the pudding that you're doing an amazing job with content creation and that there are opportunities for content creators within the tabletop RPG space beyond just a dice company. to work with. And I know Roll20 is not necessarily a sponsor, but somebody that you're, you know, professionally engaged with.
Technically I'm in their spotlight program. So it's definitely a form of sponsorship. Now they're providing a lot of materials, at no cost to me. So that's developed, and especially over here. Hey, I appreciate that. Thank you guys over Roll20. I dig it. Those are nice, fine little perks, but yeah, it's the little things over there that definitely make it work. But yeah, so there's this opportunity. Okay, you don't have to just think, okay, which three dice companies do I need to go to? I'll be honest, that's the last place you need to be looking. That stuff's going to come. It's going to come your way. You're naturally going to gravitate towards these companies. You're in that space. What people in the D&D content creation world need to understand is that they're a mini TV station, and none of them realize it yet. I'm the only person in the game that realizes that I'm a TV station. Critical Role knows, but they still aren't operating that. What they could be doing, there's no reason that Critical Role shouldn't be on Rerun right now 24/7.
I know
people have some very strong opinions about what they think about content that is Rerun, but our space is significantly different than other forms of live content creation. We are a produced show. We happen to be interactive, and that's killer, and it's amazing to have that live audience. But at the same time, we're also like Seinfeld, and we understand the power of syndication. D&D, you're talking about organizing 4, 6 to 8 other people to try to come together on a piece of content, bring their A game, and all meet schedule. And this is people, these are ranging from content creators to just part-time weekend warriors that are doing this. These windows of opportunity are incredibly small. Live streaming, everybody here knows it's like the stock market. That's why you have to stream so much. There's a couple incremental times within the year where you are going to get massive exposure, and you need to be in the market when you get those to be able to see the gains. How on earth do you think you can get that by streaming one day of D&D for 4 hours at one time slot and nobody ever sees it again? You're relying completely then on YouTube's algorithm to try and give you discoverability.
Well, and it's interesting because, I mean, you look at like the Eagles. Take the Eagles, for example. One of their highest selling albums is a live set, like all their live sets put onto a CD and put to the world. So, yeah. I mean, there's power in the Rerun. And that's, so for the listeners, Twitch, you can subscribe to any given channel and it gives you access to a ton of additional features. We mentioned emotes and a couple other things. But one of the big ones as a content creator is you can put your VODs, the videos and content that you've already created, behind the subscription wall. So only subscribers can go and view the post content.
And this is typically a podcaster only thing. Most streamers are open. Podcasters and folks that do produce content, we're all trying to build value for our subscription base and our supporters. So we'll do this arbitrary, you know, gate window to be able to give our supporters that early access. And then the public gets it the next week. And that's largely how we operate. And if we didn't have that mechanism, we would lose out on a lot of our revenue that allows us to even do what we do in the first place.
Right. And then, you know, another arm of that is we mentioned the Rerun. So a content creator can, I know it's changed the last few months, but it's, you can choose which episodes can go into it.
Yeah. So you can do, you can independently run those episodes from Twitch and target times. But here's the sad part. They're not paying ad revenue on it. They're not paying ad revenue on that. So that is one of the reasons why I don't. I literally run myself as a TV station over here 24/7 outside of it so that I can still be taking advantage of that ad revenue. I'm sure in the discussions of how Twitch is morphing and growing into the ad platform that it needs to be to be sustainably successful, there will be more ways of addressing that. But if largely, we're such a niche thing. Most people wouldn't even know that we're doing it over here.
Right.
And those big concerns in other directories, this came up in the forefront when Valorant came out. People realized that they could run Rerun content and stay up on top of a directory and be able to farm that mass influx of viewers that would come in. Because as we all know, the further you scroll down, the harder it is to be discovered. D&D is largely very different because we go from 60,000 people in the directory to 300 in the matter of a day. And that's just when crit rolls in. Most of the time right now, your largest audiences are when Arcadum is having one of his shows with a ton of different D&D rank and file, or not D&D rank and file, but Twitch rank and file streamers that bring in their own communities into the directory. And then D&D official productions releases that will hover around the 1,000 mark. And then most of the D&D communities are around 200 to 100, and then tons of 80s and 50s and hundreds and 20s and 30s. So it's a very dynamic directory. Because of how hard it is to run live D&D content, there's huge windows of opportunity. There's nobody running fresh D&D
right
early in the morning. I fully take advantage of this. Once Australia hits the middle of their night, before UK kind of gets fired up, there's huge swaths of opportunity that are out there. And I take advantage of that by running 24/7. That helps me pick up these eyeballs to get people interested. On top of it, it's long form content. Okay. I'm not hooking people with a 15 second TikTok. Like, this is incredibly hard to get invested. I don't know what our bounce rate is. I have no idea. I'd have to call Devin Nash to try to figure this out. what our bounce rate on long form content is, but it can't be good. It's got to be. For somebody to sit in and get in the middle of a story that right now, if they were to hop in Game of Saving Throws, I'm in the late 70s, you know, and I'm at the end of the end arc. I'm, to put this in crit roll terms for you guys out there, they're heading towards the Vecna arc. Like, we're going to be done by the end of the year in this 2-year campaign. So for somebody to be able to hook onto that, it's difficult. You rely on your community trying to give them the 3-paragraph synopsis whenever they were all in the chat trying to figure out, not to mention if they've never watched D&D before.
Right.
Then they're like, what is going on?
And then if they're new to Twitch in and of itself, yeah.
They're getting hit with a pre-roll, then they're getting hit with a mid-roll. It's stacked against you. It's clear. The whole thing is stacked against you as a growing creator. It's not, at some point in time, you're going to be thanking Daddy Warbucks for those ads coming in. But as a growing content creator, you're like, man, I gotta do something. I gotta do something to help this process, to ease this viewer in. I'm making it so difficult for them. I mean, it's something, it's my own liability. I understand at this point, I'm not doing it, but what I have to do is what Joe Rogan did. I have to make Eclipse Channel. There's just no doubt about it. I need to live off of taking a 4-hour interview like he does, and I need to start grabbing 10-second clips and playing YouTube's game where I'm reaction shot with my captain hat there. Ooh, what just happened? And I'm looking at a D20. I have to play the game, and I have to take that 10-minute excerpt of one of the best parts of D&D and transpose it into clips. You know, that is going to be my, you know, one of my main pieces going forward. I know that now. However, if Twitch would just look and go, can we please make the TikTok of Twitch clips? You would literally own every single bathroom stop of every content creator of all time. People would be being discovered that would never be discovered. It's the piece. It's the last piece. And I'll be honest, I think the Facebook creators are going to get it first.
I could see it. I mean, if nothing else, Facebook's very tuned into Instagram with Reels and everything like that. So
yeah,
it's,
I think they're going to be plugged into it first. I think naturally their platform and how it goes, because they don't need gaming, right? It's this extra little piece. It's this extra little cherry on the sundae. One of them that gets it together, whether it's Google, Amazon, Facebook, doesn't matter. That's they now know the winning model. They know one of the winning models. And because the success of TikTok was making everybody a creator. So anybody, all of a sudden, anybody that just wanted to do something over the course of a recording that some other creator already did could become content itself. Look at this. We have this entire platform of ridiculous creative content. You don't have to farm. It's already there and it's already created. That's what's incredible about it.
Right.
And it's unique. Can you imagine anybody else that's ever gotten bored by looking at TikTok going, it's the same thing over and over again? Where do you see this? Where do you see the most crazy moments of everybody's stream? I almost think it would be more addicting than watching most of the streams. because everybody talks about it, that in content creation, you know, it's that 30 seconds of this 8-hour stream that was the best part, that made the community feel attached and alive. And that was the moment they were like, I was there. All of a sudden you're getting that moment like crazy.
Right. Well, and it's interesting putting that into context, because the through line for everybody between me, between you, between the lay viewer is it's the game. We've all had, oh, that was such a great Destiny run, or that was a great nuke on Call of Duty or whatever have you. So that would be the through line that TikTok and Reels they don't necessarily have, is that commonplace, common language. So over the course of the conversation, your level of business just acumen and just understanding is incredible. Super kudos. You know, there's content creators who are very good at doing content, and there's content creators who are very good at doing the business. And like you said, you're noticing trends, where to place your bets, you know, how much to put on black, how much to put on red, when to move, and things like that. So when you were starting to develop your channel, your branding, your persona on Twitch, where were you looking for kind of like guiding pieces? Were you just Googling, or were you like, we've mentioned Rare Drop and those gentlemen, where were you looking for, you know, what you wanted to implement on your channel?
It all starts with the first pile of attention and flipping that pile of intention, that pile of attention. That's all. You don't get to start where you want to start. It's not your call. The market tells you what you're going to do. I got to open a craft beer bar when craft beer got hot. I didn't get to open it when I wanted it to.
Right.
even though I was enjoying craft beer 14 years ago, it was only 7 years ago that I got to do it. Let's start with a piece. A lot of streamers have gimmicks. Everybody's seen me wear this captain's hat, and I wear it all the time, all over the place. I've been wearing this since a bachelor party, literally 14 years ago, before I even got started in the bar business. I wore this cap in New Orleans, and everybody was like, oh my God, you need to wear that to the wedding. And I was like, yeah, I can actually wear my blue blazer and my khakis. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be the yacht captain. I live up the Mississippi River. Everything is plausible. My family has boats. This all makes sense. Well, I started meeting people as the captain, and eventually 15 weddings later, you just are the captain. There is no more me. And with me being in the bar business, now I'm like, okay, well, this has become a thing. So now I'm wearing this while I'm at work too. It just becomes part of the persona. So I already have this really cool icebreaker, and that's what it always has been for me. That's why you wear a silly hat when you go out on a bachelor party, is because it breaks the conversation immediately when you walk up to the bar. They can go, hey, captain, and you can immediately start talking, which is unbelievable. Love it. Highly suggest everybody doing something where you peacock just a little bit in a social space. Whenever COVID and all this breaks down, I'm telling you, you'll have the time of your life if you love just talking to people. Which obviously all of us in this business do. So we start with that. So I naturally already have this built in. I have a cult of personality. I've been running it for a long time in my town. I'm known as that. I was the kid that got in the bar business, that became the adult, that became the captain, whatnot. So I have a community. I know community building. Been doing it forever. Been doing it on a local scale. And, you know, just like streaming, the last thing we do in the beer business is sell a beer. That's the dead last thing we do. We become friends. We tell stories. We make moments. That's why I've had 30. I ended at the end of my bar career. I had 38 marriages inside my bar. I have them all wrote down over my notebook. I got pictures from them. And those are just from couples that are confirmed that have told me. And I'm doing pretty good because I only got a 4 divorce rate. So I got a pretty good record on this. But no, that's really cool because they come back. They take pictures. And you get these amazing shots of people's lives, and they stick around, and you got to help facilitate and foster that moment. So I go in going, okay, this is community building. I understand it. I became a part of the member of the Destiny community. You know, I go down, I meet all the Rare Drop guys. I see what they're doing. I look over at Corey and Ben and I go, these are the same guys that were playing Halo in the basement of my fraternity house. This is exactly who these are. Corey, having background in restaurant management too, like these are the skills, putting out fires, being people, like there's a natural improv and whole pile of characteristics that we all share. And I'm going, okay, yeah, I totally get this industry. I understand what it is and how you need to catch a wave and ride that wave. So it's all about timing. So what do? I go in, I'm a member of the Destiny community. That's what I lean into first, because I am already playing the game. So I take something that I'm already doing at night and I'm going to turn it on, and I can start to flip that. What was me playing 4 hours by myself, now I've turned that into a business. I've turned that into content. So we start there. So we start with eyeballs there. That's where I go. I'm on 2 weeks. I'm on Twitch and I see this. And this is right about when Sea of Thieves is about to drop. And I'm a man with a beard, long hair, and a captain's hat. I look like a natural pirate. I love the high adventure and pirate theme. Love every bit of that. So what do? I play nonstop Sea of Thieves. I play it for a month and a half. I go in. At that point in time, Mixer was offering the first co-streams. What better way for you to start building when you have nothing than you start teaming up with other content creators and creating that line piece of collaboration content? Right now, everybody out there, the gold standard is when Ninja, Courage, Lupo, and their friends hook up and play a game. That right now is the top piece of co-op content because they have the largest audiences. But you can do this at their level with any of your friends at any point in time. And what you need to do is with friends at your level of content creation, is do that. Go have fun and show what it's like, because that's what playing in the basement of my fraternity house was like. That's what it's like for you to play back in high school. Three or four of you are sitting on the ground playing, having a good time. There's other people in that room and they're going to sit and come behind on that couch and they're going to watch. Well, now the internet and the world is your couch. So you've started it. You understand how to build, why people are enjoying it, because they're enjoying you loving life. They may come there for the game first and tune in because they're a part of that community. They're going to stay because they're like hanging out on your couch. So I take that piece of attention that went from Destiny to Sea of Thieves, which went back to Destiny, because we come back and we get a new big release. This was right before Forsaken. What was the piece before Forsaken? Can't remember. Doesn't matter. What matters is the game came out with content that rejuvenated a community again. You saw it, more eyeballs. This can be played longer. Flip it. So then I meet all these wonderful folks. I get partnered because I'm a Destiny streamer. The actual week that I got partnered, my big push, I'm tuned in. I'm watching No Man's Sky, which drops for Xbox that week. A big part, if you guys know my channel, is soundtracking. Well, what did I do? I gave people the interstellar experience when No Man's Sky came out. So I soundtracked it to, at that point in time, we were still playing Wild Wild West, playing whatever music we wanted on streams. And I'm playing Hans Zimmer, and we're going in, like, I'm giving the interstellar experience. So if that stoner on the couch catches my No Man's Sky scream, they're in it. This is the new world. And so I rode that piece of attention, and that's what you do. You look and see. So I only have, at this point, I have D&D once a week for my original group that was in the basement of a bar. I bought almost every single piece of equipment for those folks to come and join me on that first initial ride, lining everybody out with mics, boom arms, setting up voice meter banana. This is before Goa XRs and all the nice equipment that we have now. Nobody's got sound gating that comes with their microphone. We're doing the whole production. It's taken an hour and a half before shows sometimes because they haven't done it. They do a Windows update and throw everything off. So I'm literally setting and producing every single person's computer, and I hone myself over on Mixer and I make the best damn D&D show that the planet has ever seen. And I keep doing it and I keep doing it. And then I'm able to go, okay, I think I can do this second time. We built this up. We got 40, 50 people watching. I think we can flip this. I think we can go for two. So that's when the difficult part comes out. Where do we find talent? How do we find talent? You can't pay people yet. How do you do it? So you got to reach down deep and find out who just wants to play D&D, and how do I structure this content? And you're going off of your own network and going, who can I pull in? And I find these amazing friends in Radio Mang and Caustic Phoenix and Mudcat. And I find these people there in the broadcast journey around with me in that same level. And we start making something magical, and we find out, oh my God, look at this. Becca is on Laura Bailey's level. She's amazing. She's a speech and debate college person. Perfect. She knows it. She's an incredible role player. We add all these pieces. We have Radio Mang's energy. We have the perfect contrarian and Mudcat, and we're dynamically fitting and putting all the pieces together. And that's when I discover my eureka moment. I go, if I want to play more D&D, I just put out more D&D. So that's when I flipped the switch. I went 24/7 before that E3, turned it on. People went bonkers because they were able to catch D&D content at any hour of the day. All of a sudden, I have an Australian audience. I have a heavy UK audience. I'm no longer just prime time states. So I'm hitting all markets. And now I'm like, yes, this is awesome. I can stop almost doing all my other sides of content creation. I can play that when I want to. I don't have to play it just because I'm riding a wave of intention or just because, well, this is what my community's used to. Bam. Now I get to do something that I love 100% of the time, that I have a hungry audience for, and that you just keep folding those piles. And then we're able to take that pile and go right in over to Twitch, because this is the difficult jump. And this is why there's some incredibly successful people like Covent that are just our rock star stories that we love to talk about, that have, you know, latched onto Twitch like nobody's business. And then we have people that have a very difficult and hard time because they were used to being able to select whatever game they wanted to on Mixer and they could play it, because they could take their size of broadcast community and do that. You take a 200 person stream and try to move it over into Twitch and you put that in the Call of Duty directory, you're buried. You're literally living off of your own community there until you find another way to get discovery. Well, I'm fortunate because we take my pile, which is significant enough to go into a niche directory on Twitch. And that makes all the difference. It just does. So then my pile is noticeable. People can see me. I'm not buried. I already have this existing community. When I start out and I bring my first 30, 40, 50 people over here before the rest of the community made their way over, I could be seen. I was in the second or third. You could get me in a scroll. And then once Mixer folded and the whole community came over, then bam, there I am. I get to be up at the top again. So I'm getting the attention that it takes to grow as a broadcaster. So you can see this wild journey of trying to ride waves. And this is why people talk about luck. This is why streamers bring up luck all the time. It's not luck. It's math.
Yeah, it's a lot of math.
But you have to respect it.
Yes, you do.
You have to respect it. It's law of large numbers. And you, at the end of the day, you're at the whim of the market. And I'm getting to do this because D&D is in a renaissance. This doesn't happen. This doesn't happen 5 years ago.
Right.
This doesn't happen 4 years ago. You can ask, go hit up JP on Twitter. Go ask him. He's the pioneer of this format. Ask him how long, how many episodes. Go check his YouTube out. Go see how long JP did this before people took notice. He'll never get enough credit.
No, he really won't. He'll
never get enough credit for developing that format and taking it where it went. There's no Captain Ropair without JP. It doesn't exist. That's all those bricks had to be laid. And there was a lot of bricks that laid to get to the creators that are here now.
So now, how many D&D centric shows are you producing and have you produced to date?
So right now we are still on my some of my first shows. We've retired two different campaigns so far, and those largely involved my very first in-person D&D folks, you know. That naturally, as life runs its course, they dedicated a lot of time for a very long while, but they are not professional broadcasters. So that kind of D&D, you have to accept that you need to start working with, when you're talking about those kind of time commitments, you need to start working with more professional broadcasters and start branching out. So those first two campaigns were retired from some of my best friends that we played for a very, very, very long time. And those sets of, and those games of D&D had different requirements and filled different needs. These are very much performative pieces now and fill different needs. So now we're on Game of Saving Throws 2 and 3, and we're on Neon Regimes 2. So I have three independent campaigns that I've grown and fostered. We're in the 70s on Game of Saving Throws. Torment's Quest has gotten up in the 40s now. We're in the 20s on Neon Regimes, which is our cyberpunk themed. And I've started working with Rare Drop now. So now I brought in a high fantasy campaign that has the option to go places with inside the Rare Drop world. So I'm working with them. That's another turn and flip. Okay, let's talk about riding another wave of exposure. Let's get out here further. And it couldn't be a better pairing for us because we know each other. We've trusted each other for a long time on a personal level. And me being a part of that GCX family. So it's just a natural fit, which is so cool. But what I've done is I've also started doing commission games. And this was something I was entirely against early on. I was very, very, very hesitant to make a pathway to the table from my own community. Because like anybody who's ever seen or watched Critical Role, there's going to be 1,000 people in chat. They're going, I want to play. And that's it's only natural that you want to. You see this D&D at a high level and you want to be there. And I thought, okay, this could breed kind of crazy levels of toxicity within my community. I don't want that. So I was very staunch. No. There's no pathway to the table. This is not going to happen. When I flipped the script, I started thinking, okay, well, let's rephrase this. Okay. We're gonna show if somebody's gonna play, then if I commission my services, we're gonna head it and do it this way. So what I do now, I do two commission games a week. Well, I do one commission game and I do one what I call the community game. Community game has been my way of helping fund my other talent within, because I said I want to get to the point where I'm able to compensate these broadcasters that have helped me build where I'm at. We're getting to that level now. So I'm stable enough. I can start really taking care of my talent. So now the community comes together and they raise these funds that literally go straight to my talent, to my D&D partners. So they get this game. I get to just donate my time, run a game for them that helps generate the revenue that makes this transition business model work. Because we're not always going to be at that point, but this is that stopgap that gets me from, okay, I'm almost stable on where I was at when I was in the bar business. I'm not quite there yet. I'm getting to it. How do I make a payroll that doesn't exist, that's not a payroll, so I can help compensate? So this is that hard in-between. Well, I finally started to bridge the gap with it in the commission game, which profits 100% go to me, and the community game, which goes to my players who've committed and dedicated all this time, is this perfect bridge gap now. But it also gives me more content. And people love seeing new folks' faces learn and play D&D, where something I thought at first I thought might devalue my brand was like, okay, this could be very difficult if it's a show that's not up to snuff. This diminishes what I do. Well, I've been able to flip the script on that as well and foster this and make this awesome. And it's a style of D&D that's still super watchable. And I'm able to foster the RP and all the stuff that they like out of my games and give them that experience at the table that they normally wouldn't get elsewhere. And that has made all the difference. And the community loves it. It's an option for me as a creator that makes this solvent. And it gives us, you know, more content to put out. And so now we're putting out six pieces of content between the Rare Drop and what I do. And eventually we'll be up to 7 pieces for a little bit while COVID's going on. There's no reason not right. I'm not doing anything. it's not like I'm not losing out. Like there's no one to visit. There's no one to do. So why not? Like, why not just run a show tonight? That's my social life anyway right. At the moment. So for this period of time, we're going to take this new growth. There's tons of eyeballs that are watching in the market right now that are new. It's not affecting me. It's not hurting me. I'm not feeling burnout on that end. I've taken the steps to join up with one of my old D&D players. He has committed to being a ghostwriter and a creative writer with me whenever I feel pieces of block. So I'm building that out. I'm building my team. And getting piece by piece, as you should. But I think what most people have a problem with is they learn these transitions are hard from how to get from here to here. So I'm learning how to get to where Critical Role is. I'm learning the pieces that make that puzzle. Right now, I'm trying to get where Roleplay was. That's what I want to do. I want to get those first goals. I want to try to get to where role play was at. And so we're transitioning and getting that first piece. And that's our goals for right now.
Nice. So how long, like what is the length of one of the episodes that you produce?
So we're on the, we do the 4 hour deal. We're at the 4 hour mark, like Crit Roll. We kind of do the pre-show because everybody's a chatty Cathy. You're getting 20, 25 minutes of just streamer gibberish because we're excited to talk to each other for a minute at the beginning of the episodes. And you're getting a solid 3.5 hours, usually the 3.25 of D&D on the episode. It's a big breakdown right now between the talk of 3 and 4 hours as far as shows. Arcadium is, he's a big 3 hour person. But he's able to get in and get out. They don't spend time at the beginning. They're just in. So he's really, it's to be honest with you, it's really the same thing. He just is at a point in his career where he's dealing with unbelievable talent with audiences where they have finite time. And he's discovered that, okay, this is the 3 hours works for these larger content creators to get in and out when they don't play a lot of D&D makes sense. For us that dwell in it all the time, I'm like, man, I need the four. We storytelling wise, we kind of need the four because sometimes everybody's been there for that Crit Roll episode that's kept you up till 3 a.m. It's there, it exists.
Yep.
It happens.
Yep.
About, you can't just start and stop. You can't cut and kill moments. You just, it's very, very difficult to try to bring back and get that same level of emotion. So that's where we sit. I'm super comfortable with there, and I don't see myself changing from that anytime soon. We take our break at the 2 hour mark in the middle. It feels comfortable, usually satisfied. And, you know, it's between the audience. Can the audience enjoy it? They do. They feel comfortable. Does the cast enjoy it and are comfortable? Okay. They do. Okay. So we're not changing it for right now. That seems to fit my style.
I want to get it. You know, it goes back to the comments that we've made on math. You've figured out your math, your algorithm and everything that works for you. So at 7 shows, about 4 hours a piece, it puts you pretty close to 30 hours of D&D content a week. How do you just keep it all in line? I mean, that's 7 different campaigns. I'm assuming different cast members, different plots, like
DNA, my DNA, 100%, because I don't care if I'm wrong. And plenty of other people really, really care. And creative, like hardcore creative writers really, really care. I just don't. Like, we'll figure it out. I'm an improv artist. I'm a bartender. I come up with things on the spot. So I lean into my strength. My strength is building at the table. I don't want to write the next Odyssey. I want to do it at the table with my friends. Just like comedians that have to work out jokes on stage, I work out narrative on stage. And I'm going to come with those pieces. So I lean into my strength and I do very, very little creative writing. I give myself a sandbox because I don't want to pigeon myself in. Now, some people, they love, that's what they do. They world build and they go ham. I can't really do it. It doesn't work for me, but man, can I do it at the table? At the table, I'm in and I'm wanting to pull pieces. What gets me excited is when they get excited about what they think is there. So I want them to build it. That's why I want the sandbox.
Right.
It's in my own personality. If there's anything, anybody that knows me for any amount of time now and knows D&D, they understand that I was probably plucked from the Fae. I want the chaos. I thrive in the chaos. I need it. I want to always have an out to come and do this or that or change things and have fun. That's just my skill. So I lean into it. It's my own DNA. I can't change it. It's me. It's how I operate. And that's how it works. Other people, I mean, but here's the deal. It's still, and this is the hard line, it's still 4 hours of prep. Doesn't matter. Even though I'm not creative writing, what am I doing? I'm listening to 3 hours of music almost per episode. And that's what sets my D&D apart. The minute you watch one of our episodes, you'll understand I don't have a producer. I am the producer. I'm one of the very, very few individuals that runs D&D, produces it. I'm DMing, streaming, and soundtracking at the same time. And I love it. It is the addiction of addictions. It is spinning the maximum amount of plates at the same time. It's wild. It's crazy. Things break. But that's my life. I'm used to that. I'm used to putting out fires. It's my burger time. So in live format, this is great because it's wonderful imperfection. And you're striving striving for perfection, but you're not beating yourself up because it's not. Do you come back each week going, I'm going to make this episode smooth as silk and I can't wait. I'm going to try. But I spend that time dynamically soundtracking, and I have found that I can get the best level of role play out of any single person at any point in time, because I can give them the soundtrack to their life. If they have ever wanted to walk behind the Fellowship of the Rings and go and head out on that quest, I can deliver that to them. I can give them that moment. I can give them cyberpunk in one scene when the rain is hitting and the neon's flashing up against and mirroring the water. I can bring that synth wave in. I can do all that. I can set it. And that's my big advantage, because you're not going to listen to many campaigns that dynamically soundtrack the way that we do. And it's the first thing that you cue in on. It's my personality plus that helps foster this sandbox storytelling experience. That's the difference.
So now you and I both know, being tuned into the live streaming culture, that DMCAs are a very big concern now. So where do you, with all of that in your mind, where do you draw your soundtrack and your soundboards and stuff from now?
Ready to pay, my friends. Get ready to pay. So I've been using Epidemic Sound for years now. They're an incredible company. I can't recommend them enough to content creators. They're the easiest entry in for what they charge. You can go check them out and see all that stuff and whatnot. I got a referral rank, but that's not the point. I'm just telling you guys that's the easy early entry point. The highest quality beds you're going to find, and you're going to find some great ones. I also use Artlist. I find amazing content on Artlist. High ceiling to get it. It's expensive. Go check it out. When you get in that catalog, it's going to cost you when you get in. But man, does it pay dividends. I use Monster Cat Gold because I can pull amazing synthwave tracks. Content creators, it's super cheap. Go do it tomorrow. You think that you're already covered by this blanket Twitch license. You're not on YouTube. Go grab it. Go grab that piece. So I'm always on the lookout. And I've tried a bunch of companies, and they are not created equal. Those are the three that I talk about that I'm currently licensed. I have been burned by companies that have said that they have my back, and they are not there when it comes to that DMCA that comes through, or that copyright claim on YouTube. I've seen it. Not everyone responds the same way as these companies. It's like anybody else. You get to go do your due diligence. I say check out these companies that offer their services and their music. Take that trial if they got it and see. Go run some tracks and go put up some YouTube and see what happens. And that's all I can say. Like every week, I got my licenses out. I mean, that's part of my YouTube workflow now. It's literally sitting there copying and pasting licenses in between tracks for the folks that don't have whitelisting, which that's the best part of Epidemic. It's just being
whitelisted. Yeah. I love Epidemic. I've been using them for a little while now. We're already starting to run a little long on time, so I kind of want to go back to.
I knew I was going to wreck your time for.
No, it's so fine. Sorry. It's fine. I like going to, when it's comfortable, and I feel like we have a good resolution point. But one of the questions that, we got kind of a little past earlier was working with sponsors specifically. So while you're building your content and you've got your 30 hours, you're communicating with cast, you're editing micro content for YouTube and Twitter, you're also communicating with sponsors, potential sponsors, future sponsors. What is your train of thought when looking for and seeking a partner when it comes to sponsorships?
If you don't show up in person and meet those people, you got zero chance. It's flat out. They need to know you. These people need to know you and trust you. You're a brand. That's why Mike Rowe is one of the most trusted individuals as a brand, is because anybody thinks they can walk up and have a beer with Mike Rowe. Why Shaq is on every commercial from Gold Bond to freaking peanut butter is because everybody loves Shaq. How you do it? It ain't cold. It's not going to be cold calling. It's not going to be sending out emails. It's none of this. That's all stuff you're going to work on later. You can send out a million of those, and that's the kind of return you're going to get. It's going to be the one in a million shot that comes back. If you want these partners, you need to seek them out and understand who the mover and shaker is, who's the real decider, and you need to show them that your brand matters partnering with their brand and show real value. That's a huge part of it now. People just think sponsorship is like, take it for granted, that like this is just what happens. You just get this. That's not how it works. you know, my main sponsor, Voodoo Ranger, I've been in the bar business for 14 years. I courted that sponsorship for a year, for an entire year. And I've never been more professionally qualified in my life. I'm literally the most qualified person in the stream space to rep that product. And I spent the due diligence and the patience and built that up. I went to every single convention. I met Patrick. I found out who the mover and shaker was. We became good friends. I hung out. I provided them value. I brought my friends to their area in the space. Now we have this amazing Voodoo Ranger Lounge that happens whenever PAX starts up again. You'll be able to see this amazing social platform that we've helped create. And that's because Patrick knew there was a tension within the space. And then once I found out that he cared, then we could make a partnership that mattered. And so now that's why this Voodoo Ranger partnership works so well. Because it's trusted. They know that I'm going to represent their product. I know what I'm talking about. I know how to get folks into craft beer that are new to craft beer. And that's what we do. I couldn't be happier to start doing what I've done for the most of my life in content creation with it. I've always said that back then, all I wanted to do was be the next Anthony Bourdain. That's all anybody ever did that got in the restaurant business. Right. We all just wanted to be Tony. That was it. You just wanted to live the Tony life, be the next guy. So to be able to get and do that now with my first big sponsor that makes all of this happen, it changes the game. But that's what you have to do. You have to go out. And I'm not saying you got to go to every convention, but your odds are going to be better. You do whatever it takes. Remember, there is no easy mode when it comes to this. You need to be as aggressive as you possibly can within whatever your means are. And you have to realize that some people can just be more aggressive than you. And at the end of the day, you have to accept that and play your best hand. You know, not everybody can decide. Not everybody can do what Robert does. You can't. It's how it is. You have to run your best race. Don't knock yourself. Just look at, here's my X amount of opportunities I need to maximize. So where these sponsors are at and where they're at in their space, you need to provide, show that you can provide value. But don't ever talk, like, that conversation doesn't happen until so much later. You need to become one with the brand, you know, and it's how it works. And you have to court it. You have to do it. You know, there's no magic. Even when it comes down, when you guys are going to sign with management companies and these folks are taking the next big step, your advocate it's still always you. You're your biggest advocate. So find out things that you like and see who's coming into the space. That's the best advice I can give to anybody out there. Whether they're in D&D or regular content creation, what are you passionate about and what works? Be honest with what your demographic is. Can't stress that enough. Be honest. And when you do, you'll actually provide ROI. And they'll love you. And they'll love you from it. You've never been in an area that's easier than this. Every time somebody from my community gets a six-pack of Voodoo Ranger, they're tagging it on Twitter and showing it off because they know that helps me. And that's free. That's free. They can literally support you by getting their own six pack. Think about all these other dynamic ways. For the longest time, that was just an Amazon affiliate link. Now you can real world product placement with this. The possibilities are endless. But at the end of the day, you can't lead that horse to water. There needs to be your Patrick at Voodoo Ranger that you find and that you provide value with. And when you demonstrate that together, and it's going to be over the course of a lot of time, a lot of dinners, like anything else in a relationship. And all of a sudden you're going to be able to come together and you're going to be true partners. And that's what you look for. And be picky. You just be picky. And I understand not everybody can. Sometimes you got to take that sponsorship that you've seen at the beginning of a YouTube video 1700 times in a row. I understand. At the end of the day, money's money. And you always need to be the deciding factor of what you need to do for your pocketbook. People are very, very forgiving. But when it comes to long term, not one and done, things that are going to last for a long time, be picky, look for that and court the hell out of it. Do whatever you can to show up and demonstrate your personality so you guys can vibe together. You do that, you'll start getting sponsored.
Nice. All right. So we've talked a lot about the business side of things and content creation in general. You are a powerhouse. Like I'm saying this, you know, in the best way. 30 hours of content coupled with, you know, at least 30 hours of prep, you're communicating with sponsors, you're community building on social media, on Discord and things like that. So what do you do for you? What do you do to break away from the captain and just be Rob?
For the most part, you don't. You find out your ways of combining it. There is no such thing when you're in growth mode that is work-life balance. Like you don't. You either love doing this stuff or you're gonna have trouble. You're gonna have trouble with it. Now, what I do for me, man, I carve out time all over the place. I'm running 24/7. All these other suckers are sitting out here having to do 12 hours on. I don't. I'm not doing 12 hours on. I'm doing 4 hours on. Maybe I play a couple more hours of Magic. I'm not wearing myself out. I'm not stuck to that camera. I can zone out. I can sit there and listen to my music while I'm doing work, but I'm still in this track and I'm loving it. I'm seeing scenes in my head and that's refreshing me. I'm shutting off. I'm not running my yapper. I'm getting into my moment. I've been an ASMR guy for years. I listen to white noise and other soundtracks that help bring me down from that elevation of stage high and moments of creation, listening to this intense music and these intense moods all the time. I use that to help bring me down. I'll be moving out to literally a log cabin here soon that is on Kentucky Lake. It's what cooler place than to have fiber in a log cabin to be able to stream out of. I can walk out on the dock in the morning and be refreshed every day. I'm around trees. I have the things in my life that enrich me. My family's around me. I have wonderful friends. I have all of this that helps bring me and center me. And I can take time to do that whenever I want. Within my schedule, I can do that. Right now, it's heading towards winter. Recreational activities are light. Where I'm from, this is bar season. Well, there ain't no bar season this year. And there might not even be bar season next year. So what are we going to do? I'm enjoying this. So we're going into a little bit of a season of overdrive. So we're going to do a little bit more because I'm not doing anything else. I'm enjoying, this is my socialization time. You know, so we're kind of going into a little bit of hyperdrive, but you got to do what you have to figure out what makes you work. And if you're sitting there today, and I can't stress this enough, if you're sitting there and if you're playing D&D and you don't love it, stop doing it. If you're playing a video game for the 30th day straight because you want to live this dream of being a content creator on Twitch, that ain't how you do it. You need to be so excited. In a few hours, I'm going to play D&D with folks. I couldn't be more pumped. I can only do that because I'm playing D&D at the time slot that's comfortable for me. I've slept. That's another thing. Now these content creators are sleeping. I'm sleeping. Hey, guys, you're all lying to yourselves. You're all lying to yourself. If you're not getting at least six, you're literally making yourself go crazy. I'm sleeping at night. Go to sleep. I know it's tough. And there's days that I'm totally behind on work because I went and I took my hours and I woke up way later in the afternoon. Half a Twitter dump already happened. All the big releases were 4 or 5 hours ago. You're too concerned on trying to farm arbitrary engagement on some social platform. Go to bed. Go rest. There's a reason why David Blaine doesn't do sleep deprivation challenges because you're not supposed to. And that man will do
anything. Hot air balloons over the desert.
He'll do it all, but he doesn't mess with sleep deprivation. That should tell you everything.
Like, literally.
You gotta rest. And one little, like, I love it because it cracks me up every time I think about it. If streamers just got up in the morning and they had made their bed, what kind of world we could live in? These people would got up and made their bed. We're talking about the basic. You went to sleep, made your bed, and you took a shower today. What you could accomplish. I think naturally, and this is the way the world is going, with all of us working from home now and doing this, we get in these ridiculous sloth-like habits, and you just got to take care of yourself like a normal human being. You'll be amazed by what you can accomplish then. And I think that's my secret to success is just knowing that even in the times where you're going hard and you got little bouts of insomnia and you can't shut your brain off, some point in time, you're going to pay the piper. It may not be tonight. It may be in three nights, but all of a sudden you're going to lose a full day. Your body's going to get it. It's going to catch up. So just do it. Get ready for it. And you'll be amazed at what content you can create then when you're rested, refreshed, ready to go, and actually, unlike me in the first time trying to get this podcast on time.
All right. Well, I think that's really all the questions that I have for this go around. I would love to have you back on in the future. Maybe we can get a couple cast members on and dive into some of the shows and content. But it's been great, you know, chatting with you and peeling back the layers of content creation on Twitch. It's a huge and ever growing arm of the tabletop RPG space. So I'm glad we were able to dedicate some time to chatting about it. So now let's just go ahead. Where can we find you on the social ether, Twitch, the whole nine? Plug away, my friend.
Man, you can find me at Captain Robert on everything that is out there. Twitch.tv/Captain Robert, where you can catch all the live games. You can check out the recordings over on YouTube. And you can also catch me over at twitch.tv/Rare Drop on Tuesday nights for that game that's going on right now, Rare Drop Reckoning Hour.
Awesome. And that's Robert, R-O-B-E-A-R, just so everybody knows and doesn't do row with a W like I did the first couple times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Again, Robert, thank you so much for taking the time. And I would love to have you back on the show in the future.
Devin, thank you for an incredible opportunity. I appreciate it very, very, very much.
Anytime.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Bardic Babble. Bardic Babble is a part of the Bard Podcast Network's family of shows. You can find Bardic Babble and all of our other shows at thebardpodcast.com. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for updates on new episodes. We can't wait to share the next story with you.